Welcome to this life-changing experience. We move a way of no return from seven wonders of the world to the summit of Kilimanjaro. From the statue of Nelson Mandela to the African Renaissance Monument, we break all the boundaries. From the greatest archives of Timbuktu to the deepest oceans and rivers of Africa, we reveal the mysteries. We're asking life's biggest questions. We rule the world of esoteric knowledge. From ancient Egypt to fourth industrial revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, Masterclass Africa, Sir Mex,
the knowledge premier.
A man who calls his kinsmen to a feast does not do so to redeem them from starving. They all have food in their own houses. When we gather in the moonlight at the village ground, it is not because of the moon. Every man can see it in his own compound. We come together because it is good for kinsmen to do so. Therefore, let us continue with the team spirit and enjoy the power of togetherness. Let's smile, not because we don't have problems, but because we are stronger than our problems. This is a quote extracted from Chinua Achebe. And that's how we welcome you to this episode of Masterclass Africa. My name is Semex, a knowledge premier, the real number 10. And this is Channel Africa, bringing you an African perspective. We are interactive on all our social media platforms, on Twitter right now at Channel Africa One. That's where you can be in touch with us. On Facebook, Channel Africa One. YouTube and Instagram, it is Channel Africa Radio. And then every day and every week, we are trotting the continent to bring you some of Africa's top thinkers. And today we've got a gem packed in store for you. That is why we're inviting you to be part of this conversation. This is where great minds connect, and we continue to ask life's biggest questions. And today, I'm joined by a healer, a mystic, author, and an ordained minister in All Faith Church of Spirituality and Health. Dr. Matteo Mutsisi is my guest. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mutsisi.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
It's always a great pleasure to have this conversation with you. And today we're sending our love and light throughout the African continent. So if you are listening to the conversation right now, when you have a question, a comment, or an experience, this is the time where you can hit us up on Twitter at Channel Africa One. Today, Dr. Mutsisi, I mean, this is a conversation I've always been looking forward to talk to. A conversation that is so close to your heart, I know, because of the work that you did. Last time you were on the show, we're talking about your amazing book, The Odyssey of a Healer. But today, it's more about the merging of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. We're almost like living in a world, Dr. Mutsisi, where there's a contradiction, there's a big fight about feminism and masculinity, and this is tearing the world apart. I mean, the world is fighting on its own because of this discord between the two. But today we want to look at the merging of divine feminine and divine masculinity. I will allow you to expand on that.
Thank you, Femex. Let me say, correct few of the words that you've just uttered. You said the world. We are the world. We are the matrix. There's no world out there. We are that world that we are creating or manifesting in reality. Let me, to answer this or expand on this, we are in an age of Aquarius. Let's start there. We've just come out of gradually transcending from the age of Piscean age. The age of Aquarius, it's taking us on a journey of collective transcendence, which means we now coming from the age where we believe that we are separate. we see the other not as part of ourselves. We separate from everything. We need to have a paradigm shift and shift into understanding that we are not something outside of the whole. We are part of the whole. We are the cosmos. We are the world. We are not Africa outside of the world. We are part of the world as Africans.
We are the world. And I like what you're saying, Dr. Mutisi, when you say you are the world. Okay. Maybe this is, should be the point of departing for our conversation, because I'm still going to quiz you on the age of Aquarius and what it means. I want us to look at Africa's divine order or divine protocol. And I will tell you why I'm saying this, Dr. Mutisi. In other religions, the divine protocol has been clearly defined. And I'll make an example with Christianity. You know, it's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But from an African perspective, what is the divine hierarchy or protocol that will help us to understand? Because that's where the issue of divine masculine and feminine comes in.
When you focus on, you're taking me back, or you're taking yourself back, or you're taking us as a world back to separation. The universal divine order applies to a nation, to a country, to the world. When you speak about African divine order, you're taking it in isolation of the universal divine order. Now we're going back to competition, which is who? On the pedestal. Let's talk about universal divine order. The universal divine order has always been for humanity to acquire godly knowledge and power and to complete the great work of transforming our soul. This is achieved through allowing self to experience and experiment with the formless in form. When I say the formless, when we come into this world, we manifest into form. But before we manifest into form, we are spirits. And we take form, then we take the physical form. So it's experiencing and experimenting with the formless in the form as a physical being and allowing to merge the polarities. The polarities arriving at a state of harmony through the realization that the opposite that we perceive complete each other. They coexist and nothing can exist without the other. That takes you to the deeper understanding of the yin-yang. And when you talk about the opposite in the yin-yang, we're talking about, it takes us back to cosmology. I will use yin-yang because I find it an easy concept to explain the polarities. In Chinese cosmology, the universe creates itself out of the primary chaos of material energy and organized into cycles of the yin and yang and formed into objects. The yin is that which is considered receptive, always associated with the feminine energy. And the yang is that which is considered active, always associated with the masculine energy. Furthermore, if you want to see the yin-yang, which is also applied in Africa with my African upbringing, we see the yin-yang in the annual cycle. Winter and summer. Summer will be yang. Winter will be yin. We see it in yin being the dark, yang being light, the moon, yin, the sun, yang, water, and fire, water yin and fire yang, cold yin, yang warm, softness, the feminine qualities of softness, of being passive, of stillness, and the masculine energy which has dominated us for so many years, and it needs to merge with the feminine so that we can have harmony of activeness, oppression, movement. That's when we talk about the yin-yang. But we should not take the yin-yang outside ourselves, because within us as human beings, we have the interplay of those energies within us. Though, remember that gender as we see ourselves as female and male, gender orientation. It was just designed so that we can continue with the propagation of life. We needed to have a female and a male. But within us, we contain both energies. We contain the yin and the yang. And in merging with those energies, meaning establishing harmony within you, embracing the feminine aspect of your energy, and with and allowing it to merge with the masculine energy aspect of your energy. When, let me say this, the true God nature, God is neither male nor female as we've been programmed or made to believe. God is a spirit that has the attributes of both feminine and masculine in harmony. And we call that, or I call that, the androgynous God or goddess.
Okay, I understand, but I want to explain why I'm asking this question. Many of us grow in the world that is dominated by religions, where there's patriarchy at the core of these religions, where patriarchy has actually forgotten the feminine in our understanding or our concept of God. So I'm asking this question, number one, because Africa is the cradle of humankind. That's number one. That's why I'm saying particularly from Africa, because it's the cradle of humankind. Probably the knowledge of God, the knowledge of spirituality, the concept of God must have started here. That is why I'm saying Africa, without excluding the universal order. So in the concept of God, the religions of the world have excluded the feminine. So that is why I'm asking you in that perspective to say, what is the divine hierarchy, that balance, for us to appreciate both the feminine and also the masculine?
Okay. The story of religion, I echo the same sentiments with you. As observed through the history, it's a sad story. In a world where religion has been always a double-edged sword, it transmitted conflicting messages. Religion has been used to heal and to wound, to liberate and to enslave, to bless and to curse. This has actually inflicted wounds that have resulted, as we even engaging in this conversation, a perpetual struggle for meaning, dignity, and the quest for peace. But when we go back to, you're taking me back to unearthing the hidden symbol of the goddess. You're taking me back to the era where goddess worship was respected and honored. We need to come back that we've lived under the patriarchal domination for almost, let's say, probably it also went through the Piscean Age. Patrician dominance rose at the expense of suppression of the goddess worship. The goddess-centered religion existed for a very long time, much longer than the Indo-European and Christianity. Though Christianity has been in the limelight for the past 2,000 years under the Piscean Age. And that has actually affected us in a way that as Christianity rose, so was patriarchy became on the pedestal and suppressed the goddess worship. And it's unfortunate that the goddess worship, when it was not understood, it was labeled that amongst the those who are still honoring the goddess. It was considered to be a primitive religion. It was considered to be associated with magic. It was considered to be shamanism. The names are endless. When you don't understand something, you label it. It's the weakness of humanity, labeling things when they don't understand them. we are still, or we have, and still living under the sway of that aggressive male invasion, which dishonors the goddess worship. And we are only beginning to discover our long alienation from our authentic heritage. Authentic heritage, which promotes non-violent and also earth-centered culture. That, in antiquity, that's how Africans were living. Not only Africans, because I've traveled the world. You go to places, the Native Americans, people who are more rooted in goddess worship, you'll find them being more into shamanism, all that which is associated with the so-called witchcraft, paganism, shamanism. The names are endless. I wouldn't even want to entertain that field.
Dr. Matel, yes, you can go on, me.
The goddess. Let me talk about the goddess. You've pushed me to speak about the goddess. The Aquarian age is about awakening to our authentic heritage. It's about merging. The Aquarian age, it's the 11th sign in the zodiac. 11 is a master number. 11 is about a genius. And as we looking at Aquarian age, Aquarian is also influenced by the fifth sign of the zodiac, which is Leo. Aquarian water, but an air sign, which is more aligned with spirituality, and Leo the fire. So you already see the feminine aspect of the Aquarian water, air, and the masculine aspect, magic, with being influenced by Leo. So if the universe dictates the magic, who are we to oppose what the universe dictates? Why resist the shift? Why resist the transition? Why resist embracing the union of the feminine and the masculine within so that we can cultivate a world of order, of non-violence, which is earth-centered culture?
And very interesting, Dr. Mitis, before we go for a break, and you've said a mouthful, very insightful, I appreciate that. When you look at many spiritual heritages across the world, you know, the Native Americans and, you know, in from the East as well, the goddess worship has always been embraced more. The goddess worship has always been at the height, has always been advanced and protected. And one would say, you know, when did the demise of the goddess worship start?
Okay, I'll unfold. I think we'll speak more on unearthing the symbols of the goddess. I will expand. I will relate Aquarian age to the era of the golden age of Leo, which existed between 10,000 and the era of the era of Leo, the era when the Atlantean civilization was still in place. We're experiencing that energy now. If Atlantean civilization is not a myth, you will see it with all the great pyramids that are in Egypt and some in China, which are hidden, and some all over the world. During that period, the great civilization built pyramids, and there was also a statue in Egypt of that statue of depicting the lion. So I will expand. We're living in an interesting era that requires that we should be heart-centered instead of driven by fear. We're living in an era where we're remembering our old that which came before this one. We're living in an era where we are called to remember the golden age of Atlantean people. And that knowledge is deeply embedded in our matrix. We chose to forget. It's high time we choose to remember.
This is Masterclass Africa. If you are following the conversation, like I see some people following our conversation on Facebook, but also on Twitter at SMXSA at Channel Africa One, I am in conversation with an amazing healer, a mystic and author Dr. Matteo Mutsisi. We're going for a quick break, but on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask you, Dr. Mutsisi, to talk about the return of the, what you called. You called it the return of the serpents of wisdom and the return of the divine feminine. But we want to talk about that when we come back from the break. Please stay with us. This is Channel Africa.
Channel Africa brings you Science Tech Africa, a program that talks about science and technology stories in relation to Africa. Do tune in Saturday at 8 o'clock Central African Time or stream us live on www.channelafrica.co.za. And don't forget, we also on the Southern African DSTV audio bouquet, Channel 802. Channel Africa, from the African perspective.
Follow Channel Africa on these social media platforms. On Facebook, Channel Africa One. On Twitter, at Channel Africa One. And YouTube on Channel Africa Radio. Our website, www.channelafrica.co.za. Channel Africa, from an African perspective.
We are Channel Africa, bringing you an African perspective on our social media platforms at Channel Africa One. And my guest is a healer, mystic, author, and ordained minister in All Faith Church of Spirituality and Health. Dr. Matteo Mutsisi is on Masterclass Africa. I want you to comment, Dr. Mutsisi, on what you have termed the return of the serpents of wisdom. Does this imply the return or the restoration of the feminine or the restoration of the goddess? What does it mean? Can you expand on that?
You've actually said it before even I could clarify. Thank you. I'll confirm your words. When we speak about the return of the serpents of wisdom, I've just highlighted that we are in an age of Aquarian, it's an Aquarian age. And this age carries the same message and meaning of the age of Leo, which was in place during the period of the Atlantean civilization, who, after the deluge, during that time, a deluge of Atlantis, they were concentrated more in the Mediterranean, they moved to the Mediterranean region area. And then they moved also to Africa and left their knowledge in Egypt. If you want to know more, you can see if we're to follow certain things. They have certain things actually takes us back to that information. But their teachings, the third part is that their teachings have been lost and maybe deliberately so, destroyed. Because if you embrace their teachings, if we're to embrace their teachings, the world will turn around. And that has been done deliberately so that we don't connect with our authentic self. We don't connect with, we don't match our masculine and feminine, and we become self-actualized, enlightened beings who know thyself. Lao Tzu says, knowing others is wisdom, but knowing yourself is enlightenment. We're busy with trying to know others, but we don't know ourselves. We don't even know the God that we worship. We don't even know where we come from. We're following what we are being fed through media, through institutions, without questioning. When did we become so submissive that we've lost the power to question? So when we remember, in remembrance of the lost teachings of Atlantis, those were called as, Atlanteans were called as the children of the law of one, which was rooted in the goddess. The goddess is associated with the serpent, the snake, the fish, and the bird. Those are the symbols of the goddess. So when we talk about the return, not even the return, the remembrance of the knowledge and the teachings of the children of the law of one, the serpent of wisdom. I will quote from a book of the children of the law of one and the law and the lost teachings of Atlantis. It says, those who not know that they are one, act not as one. Those who act not as one, create not love, but suffering and disharmony. What you receive, what you create, you actually receive. And the fruit of your act will follow your days. During the era of Atlantis, which was the golden age of Leo, which now is opposite thereof, is our current age of Aquarius. If you look at what was said then, and you pause as a human being or an earth traveler or a seeker of truth, you'll realize that we harvesting the fruits of that because we do not know that we are one. Therefore, we don't act as one. And whatever we create out of fear. We don't create out of love. We've created our own suffering and disharmony that we see manifesting because we create our own world. So a shift has to take place. So when we talk about the serpent of wisdom, you're referring to an era of Atlantis, which is now. Their knowledge is amongst us. That energy is amongst us. The choice for each and every individual is embrace and be in the flow or resist and be stagnant.
Are we seeing the enlightenment? Are we seeing the shift in global consciousness, Mama? Are we seeing this return of the serpents? Is it an indication of where the world is going to come home and embrace who we are and where we come from? Enlightenment taking over in political space, in business, in how we relate with each other generally as a society.
Yes, we are. And let me say this. Human nature loves to... It's human nature to resist change. When we used to something, we fight and we cling to it. But change is a constant phenomenon. I've said earlier that out of chaos, order, everything was born. Everything that we see that has manifested into this beautiful form in our planet Earth was born out of the primordial waters of chaos. So the socio-political history, best testimony of that, all the chaos that is coming out. Out of chaos, what will follow is order. Out of disorder, automatically, that's the rule of nature. What is going to follow is order. We just have to be in the flow of things and not resist and not be fear-driven. Humanity is fear-driven. What are you fearing?
Big questions indeed. Big questions that I think will continue to be asked because this is the time. This is the time for that. All right. We are in the Aquarian age. What is the significance of this time? How do we link the Aquarian? Because you said the feminine or the goddess has always been associated with the fish, with the serpent. And in the Aquarian era, the water bearers. What's the significance of this era that we find ourselves in? And how can we imbibe ourselves in this era fully so that we benefit from its energies?
Okay, the feminine energy, the goddess, rules the waters, in case you don't know. And water is the source of life. When a child is born, the normal route of giving birth in antiquity was in a squatting, not how it's done now, lying flat. You will work with nature and squat, and the water will break, and then you'll give birth. All of us, most of us, were ushered into this physical realm. we call as physical play. But the water had to break. The goddess rules the waters. The goddess is connected with the sea, the rivers, the wells, the spring, the nurturing energy, the cleansing energy, the energy that sustains everything. Without water, we cannot survive amongst the other elements. We need water for survival. You talk about the goddess, you think of the water you drink every morning, with your glass of water that you drink every morning. A simple symbol of the goddess image in clay. So, Aquarian Age, ruler of the collectives, Aquarian Age does not endorse separate mentality. Aquarian Age is all about the collective. It represents the thirst for change and the longing for a better future. Aquarian Age speaks about humanitarian ideals, cooperation, and brotherhood. Brotherhood in a sense that we belonging to the global, universal brotherhood and belonging to the universal village, global village, not a separate entity, as how the world runs, where we have this nation, that nation, that nation, that nation, so many things that are separating us, separated as nations, separated in gender, separated as tribes. Why so much separation when we all come from one source? We emerge from one source, and to one source we return. Why separate? That mentality is being phased out. We need to arm ourselves and be ready for this, because it's been phased out. Whether we accept it or we don't, we are going through a process of shedding off. I said the goddess is associated with the snake. We are shedding off the old skin so that we can embrace that which is unfolding before us.
From oneness.
The Aquarian rules. May I?
Yes, yes, please.
Rules the realms of personal and collective mind. The Aquarian looks at the fight for personal and intellectual freedom. The Aquarian, when we talk about technology, we've seen it. Apparently, we don't have problems with embracing the technology. We have a problem with our awakening to our true nature as the nature of the androgynous god or goddess who embodies both the feminine and the masculine. The Aquarian is an age of technology, an age which actually started during the Piscean Age. But when you go back, you realize this technology also came. A civilization of the Atlantean was more rooted in advanced technology. That is coming back. It's not by mistake that technology is advancing. It's remembering those who are coming up with this technology. It's those who are remembering that which was in place during the Atlantean era. Remember, the universal mind, which all of us we can tap into, you can access that information and bring into manifestation that which we lived during the Atlantean period. So we have technology, the inventions of the machines, the internet has opened a full range of possibilities for social connection, social media. So much has happened. Aquarian, let me say this, you want the universal order that embraces everything. The Aquarian, there's a great likelihood, patient, one of the great, it's a good thing. Not seeing yourself as a small South Africa, part of Africa, and not seeing yourself outside of Africa. But
all right.
Seeing yourself as part of the world.
Beautiful stuff. Seeing ourselves as part of the world. We're going for a quick break, but on the other side of the break, we're coming back to wrap up the show. Stay with us.
Follow Channel Africa on these social media platforms. On Facebook, Channel Africa One. On Twitter at Channel Africa One and YouTube on Channel Africa Radio. Our website www.channelafrica.co.za. Channel Africa, from an African perspective.
across the globe. Every second, there's always a breaking story.
Colton Joy for Channel Africa Radio in Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa.
Reporting for Channel Africa, I am Hilda Kekeloa in Zambia.
Our cutting-edge and hard-hitting journalism leaves no stone unturned, giving you the whole picture every time.
George Muhango, Channel Africa, Blantyre.
Reporting for Channel Africa, this is Moki Kinzeka in Yaoundé.
From an African perspective, listen to Channel Africa in English, Kiswahili, French, Portuguese, and Chinyanja, informing the world about Africa.
Join us every day and know what is happening around you.
Channel Africa.
We are Channel Africa, bringing you an African perspective, and my guest is Dr. Matteo Mutsisi, an author and a mystic, a healer, as we wrap up our conversation today. What is one thing, Dr. Mutsisi, that you would want Africa to understand? What is one thing that is in your heart, in your spirit now, and you saying Africa must know this if we are to advance as a people?
We need to stop looking or considering ourselves as a small part. We need to embrace that we are part of the world, and the world cannot exist without us. In the same manner that we need the other world outside Africa, they need us. We are part of the whole, and in unity, we will advance. In separation, we will all die. Not physical death, but everything will come to a stagnation.
A great message indeed, Dr. Mutsisi. It's always a great pleasure, having this conversation with you and sipping from your cup of wisdom. I love it. I love it. I love it. And how do people get in touch with you?
Okay, so let me just highlight this, which is very important. If everything that I've said, people forget, it's okay. But let us understand that this great shift also ushers us with the possibility for joining the spiritual family, the global family, to the collective, a time in which we've been all longing for transcendence, divine connection that surpasses the barriers of identity, race, color, social status, and to places where all humanity will reach eternal universal connection as a global family, not as separate beings stuck in Africa.
Dr. Matteo Mutsisi is a healer, mystic, author, and ordained minister in All Faith Church of Spirituality and Health. Thank you very much for coming to the show. And a big thank you to our technical producers in Johannesburg. It is Tumelo Mokwena. And in Mahikeng, it is Kutlwano. I am Sam X. Tamako.